Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:53 Pacific Summer Time, and today being Thursday, well, what we've had is a pretty quiet day on stock markets generally. Well, the Nikkei in Asia this morning was pretty much unchanged. The Hang Seng was down about 0.33%, and the ASX was also pretty much unchanged. Where you do have some relative strength coming through is in Taiwan, Korea, and Singapore. Well, Taiwan was pretty impressive yesterday, held on to most of the gains here today. Well, the Korean index is testing the upper side of a nearly three-year range. It hasn't quite broken out yet, but you'd have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And, well, Singapore has been an underperformer among the original Asian tigers, but it has been trading at the upper side of its range and challenging a progression of lower rally highs. So that's where we have some relative strength. Well, the Indian market was a bit weaker today, considering just how quickly it had advanced in advance of the election result. Well, then the possibility of some consolidation of that gain was really the base case scenario, and we do appear to be getting at least some of that. Nevertheless, any kind of substantial pullback in India is likely to be a buying opportunity, subject, of course, to Mr. Modi coming through with the kind of reforms that people have been anticipating. Well, when we look at Europe, the majority of markets were pretty quiet. The FTSE was up about 0.33%, the DAX was unchanged, and, well, the Italian index was down about 0.33%. Well, when you look at the FTSE and its what its constituents are, well, energy and mining represent a substantial portion of the index. Well, when we look at the energy sector, well, European energy companies have been breaking up out of a 3- and 4-year basis. Well, that's contributing to some relative strength for the FTSE. The mining sector, well, the big weightings in the mining sector, like BHP and Rio, haven't really been doing much of anything. They haven't quite broken out yet. But elsewhere in the resources sector, we are seeing evidence that certainly a number of companies are moving to positions of relative performance. Well, Anglo American would be a reasonably good example there. Well, that's helping the FTSE to move to a position of outperformance. Well, it's at the upper side of a 13-year range, and the way that it is trading at present, one would have to give the benefit of the doubt to an upside breakout. Well, Germany's already done that. It's perhaps a little bit overextended at present, but, well, it's completed a decade-long range. So, well, we've seen a number of markets doing that. Well, that brings us to Wall Street, where the S&P was stronger today by about 0.43%. It's extending its breakout, and it's up to 1917. Well, having cleared the 1900 area, I think some people will start to be thinking about, well, is this going to get to 2000? Well, the market has been ranging for a while. So, well, this so far is a breakout, and it has so far been sustained. One would have to give the benefit of the doubt to the breakout being extended and a short-term overbought condition developing. Well, the Nasdaq was up by a similar margin in here today, and is also at the back to test its highs from earlier this year. Well, yesterday you had the U.S. economy's GDP figures were negative. We've had a very, very cold winter for most of the country, and that was a headwind to economic activity. Well, everyone's anticipating that it's going to bounce back in the second half of the year. Well, government bonds have been rallying very impressively. Well, they were a bit weaker in here today, but not in any kind of dynamic way. Well, considering just how fast they've gone up in the first half of this week, then a little bit of consolidation wouldn't be that surprising, would it? Well, the U.S. Treasury 30-year was down by about 12 ticks. It's still trading above 138, and the tenure was only weaker by about 5 ticks, so 5/32. That's not a great deal considering how much it had gone up. I think people are still looking at a flattening yield curve, and certainly the action has been at the longer end of that curve, and well, that remains very much the case. Well, the dollar was a little bit weaker in here today, and the well, against the major currencies, it was reasonably unchanged, whereas the Australian dollar was a bit weaker in here, and against that, the Australian dollar is a bit stronger, and against that, the New Zealand dollar is a bit weaker. So when you look at that spread, well, you've seen that the Aussie dollar had fallen over the last 3 years back to test its historic lows relative to the Kiwi, and it had lost momentum. It has type 2 bottom characteristics. Well, from the chart seminar, anyone who's been to it would remember that represents a loss of momentum and potentially a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. In this case, a downtrend, you'd expect an emphatic upward break. Well, it's testing the region of the 200-day moving average, and it's looking like we're going to see it push through that, and that we could see a rather substantial move in favor of the Aussie dollar against the Kiwi. Well, in the commodity markets, well, gold today was as low as 1251 and closed out the day around 1256, following the pretty emphatic downward break that we saw earlier this week. There's no evidence yet that this decline is over. Well, silver hasn't pulled back by the same margin. It was as low today as 1878 and closed out the day just down 4 cents at 1901. That leaves a pretty long tail on the candle in the short term. Well, I guess a mantra at Fuller Tracy Money for decades, and obviously originally originated by David, was that you don't pay up for commodities. Well, silver's not expensive here. It's at $1,900. It's bounced from this area on a number of occasions. Well, but perhaps we're going to get something similar. Like, obviously, we won't have any kind of evidence, or we won't have anything to substantiate that until we actually see it. Well, if silver bounces, then perhaps the $1,250 area might offer an area of support for gold. But well, that's very tentative at present. So there's no corresponding evidence, and well, anyone with a short position certainly hasn't been given anything to worry about really just yet. Well, palladium was as high today as 840, and 840 is down at about $5.70 at the close, and closing out around 834. Well, what we've seen is that this has been a choppy uptrend, and that breakouts to new highs haven't generally been sustained, and that it's pulled back to hold the progression of higher reaction lows. Well, today is only one down day, and well, we don't have any evidence yet that that's occurring, but that it wouldn't be out of character for palladium to ease a little bit in here before pushing on again to hit another new high. Well, elsewhere in the commodity complex, sugar and coffee have been quite weak over the last 2 weeks, but have pulled back to the region of their 200-day moving averages, and well, today they found a little bit of support. Well, cocoa has been the relative strength leader. Well, there's stories of farmers in Côte d'Ivoire and Ghana pulling up their cocoa trees and planting rubber trees because they can't make enough money out of cocoa. And, well, generally speaking, they're not using pesticides or fertilizer, and therefore their yields have been pretty low. Well, last week, the 12 major cocoa buyers banded together, and, well, they're going to invest some money in attempting to raise yields in the Ivory Coast. Well, that's a medium-term ambition. The short term is that these cocoa contracts are trading in backwardation right across the curve, and that they're exhibiting consistent medium term uptrends. So they might be a little bit overbought in the very short term, but one would have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, and we're still quite a long way from the highs that were posted a few years ago. So well, this isn't an area where demand destruction is going to start to come in. Well, against that, the chocolate market generally is pretty tight, and there's only a small number of really quite dominant players in it. Well, they generally tend to be pretty profitable. They're all trading at pretty high multiples relative to the wider market right now, and yet they still have reasonably consistent uptrends. Well, I guess that's a testament to the fact that you've had massive consolidation within that industry. In fact, most of the companies that have banded together to support production aren't listed at all. They're mostly private companies, and among those are big ones like Mars and Cargill. Well, that is a continuing trend that you have. Well, you have a global economy that is increasingly dominated by a capitalist economic outlook, and that contributes to concentration, so that big companies become bigger and acquire reasonably smaller companies. Well, Temasek's purchasing of the balance of Olam's international shares also helps to highlight the fact that sovereign wealth funds are very much active in acquiring promising businesses, and not least when they're at attractive valuations. So what we've seen is that, chocolate might be trading at a relative premium to the wider market, but that big investors are betting that it remains a growth market. Well, elsewhere, among the autonomies, you've seen that overbought conditions have been unwound in much of the biotech sector, and you're getting a pretty impressive bounce from the region of the 200-day moving average. That when you see a massive overextension relative to the 200-day moving average, that's generally a good time to be selling, or at least be thinking about taking profits. And if you're not taking profits, you should at least stop buying. But that when you do see these pullbacks to the 200-day moving average, if it is something that you like, then it's probably the best time to be thinking about buying some. I think with that, I will leave you for the afternoon and wish all the best to all of you.